Linda, all right, page Psalm 78, page 786.
What did it mean in yours?
Psalm 78 began this last week, and the history, this psalm deals with a generalized history of Israel from their departure from Egypt to the reign of David. What we emphasized last week is what is introduced in verse 3, which says, which we have heard and known, here it is, and our fathers have told us. Then the next several verses show to us indeed that it shows that there's five generations in verse 4 on through to verse 6. You're involving our fathers' fathers and the children, the children's children, and you break that down. Remember, I explained to you I'm not great with genealogies, but the fellow who I was reading for this, he said we're involving five generations. And so the emphasis was the importance of fathers. That cannot be stressed. Thank God for mothers who do what fathers should do.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And many a godly mother has been used to influence children. But only if there's no father present, in that the father may have died, depending on the dysfunction of things, the father may not be in the picture, whether he's never been apart, whether he left, and it's only the mother, and I believe God therein will use that mother to do what the father would be doing. But my message last week was not to address those situations that I just described, but to address the situations where there is a father, or in the case of unmarried, where they will be a father. And that fathers need to do what fathers ought to do.
Yes,
why is the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America in the sad, sick condition that it is?
Come on. Yes, sir.
I believe not only, but significantly, it's because fathers have failed to be godly men. And they have put their job, their golf, their hunting, their fishing, and whatever other kind of interests they would have, they've put it before being godly. I'm not talking about whether they're saved or not. It isn't a question of were they ever saved. The question is, are they godly? No. No, I let that to the little woman. No, you can't do that.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't do that. God gave that to the Father. Man doesn't have the authority to put over onto the mother what God has given to them as a father.
That's right, sir. That's right. Yes, help us.
We look at the church. And when I say church, I'm talking about Bible-believing, Bible-teaching. I don't care if it's a Baptist church, a Bible church, a community church, or a whatever kind of church by name over the door. The fact of the matter is that when the men sitting in the pews who are fathers do not live with Jesus Christ first and foremost, it's no wonder that their sons especially, but even their daughters, would not take the time to follow Jesus Christ.
Yes, help us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Facebook can be a real problem, but it can also be a real blessing.
That's right.
And recently, my Facebook secretary has told me about several, that's Pat, I don't do Facebook much, okay? Now, I made a note and I have it where I do my devotions to check Liberty Behind Bars daily. So that, like, you had a Facebook fundraiser? I didn't know anything about that. Yeah, and so I put a note, check Liberty Behind Bars daily, so I don't miss something that's important. And the fact of the matter is, there have been several Facebook posts that got at this very thing that I started on last week with fathers. And she said, you know, she knew what I preached. And she said, look, do you realize this was there? Do you realize that was there? And I said, no, I didn't realize it. Why would I? I don't look at Facebook. You do that. And so I don't know how to emphasize it enough. It's a matter of priorities. Now, Pastor was referring to Neil and being sick. And I know people don't like to be pointed out, okay? And Neil, it just as well I didn't say this. But the fact of the matter is that he puts being a godly father as a priority in his life. Now, you know why he does that? Because he had a father who was godly and put a priority on being godly. And then when Neil, who was saved at a young age, when he went out and sowed his wild oats and finally repented and came back to God, he knew it was because his father was praying for him. There's many other things that I'm sure were involved in that, but I know that's one of them. And we went to the Ford's place when they had a dedication of their house and an open house and an open buffet bar. Okay. When we went there for that, he said, I want my father, my hero, to pray for the food. Now, he didn't call his father a hero just because he wanted to butter him up. I know Ford's too much for that. But he said it because that's what he feels regarding his father. Men, we cannot. You say, oh, it's too late for me. You've heard me lament what I wasn't as a Christian father. Okay? You've heard me lament that. And there's never any change in that. It doesn't matter how many regrets you have, it won't change the past. Okay? And, my kids had a godly father, but he didn't spend the time with them that he should have. You know why he didn't? Because he was out visiting all of the people of the church. He was out taking care of everybody else's family. You heard me say last week, a lot of good it did. And it did. Okay. I thank the Fords for the appreciation that they've had for my ministry.
Amen.
Okay. And the Falks have expressed it. And other people have expressed it. Okay, so I understand that. I'm not discounting any of that. And because I have a wife who, when the children at 6 and 8 years of age, one night we were at Bell Run, in the Bell Run Parsonage, and we were there, I was out visiting again. And one of the kids said to Pat, where's Daddy at? Now, she could have said, oh, he's out visiting again. And they'd have soon picked up on that, wouldn't they? So you mothers, you wives, be careful how you react to questions and conditions that exist in your home because your children will not miss it.
That's right.
They will not miss it.
And
but she said, well, you remember that new family that visited church on Sunday? Oh, yeah. Well, he's out telling them about Jesus. Now, she would have liked me to have been at home doing something with the family. And you say, well, were you wrong? You know, that's the rough part as a pastor. I remember many a time to a young pastor, I've told him, I said, now you're going to have a struggle. Because this part of you is going to want to serve Jesus 100%, which I tell him then, and you need to do. But that means you're going to want to do everything and go everywhere for them. But I said, this part of you needs to be with your children. Needs to be with your wife. You need to take time for your family. And then I look at them in a big grinning smile and I'll tell them, it's something you'll struggle with all of your ministry. You'll never be able to balance that to your satisfaction. But I'm telling you, we need to try, don't we? We need to try, fathers, in order to be what you need to be, and grandfathers, okay? That's where those of us who we've missed it, maybe with our own kids, now we come into the grandfather situation, and we need to try to do there. And the two boys, Nina's, our youngest daughter, their sons, Jake and Sam, you remember Sam, he'd come to church with us. He lives in Buffalo now, goes to college up there. I looked at Jake and Sam, who spend a lot of time at our house, and I looked at them as another opportunity to try to do it right. Guess what? I didn't always pass, but I passed more than I did before. Okay, I learned something. Not enough, but I learned something. And so, we need to take real seriously this matter of being the kind of men that we ought to be. And now I'm changing, you see, from fathers just to men. The kind of men we ought to be, where we work, where we interact with people. That what they see of us. I work at the library. I like working at the library. They appreciate the work that's done, and that's wonderful. Every morning I pray, God, help me when I go to the library today to be a good representative of you. Help people, help me to be what my co-workers need and need to be able to see. We get an evaluation each year, and I'm always happy for that time. And my job as a janitor / maintenance, I don't have interaction with patrons like the other staff does, okay? But nevertheless, I was pleased that I got a good evaluation on that question, which the director said doesn't typically include you because of what my work is. But she noticed that I try to interact with patrons. There's a Caitlin. There's another lady. I don't know her name. But whenever she sees me, she's sure to say hello. And then there's a fellow named Blaze. Today when I was leaving, he was coming in. And I said, Blaze, you're late. And he told me why, you know, he wasn't there. Another day, I looked at him and I said, hey, you weren't here yesterday. He said, oh yeah, I was sitting down on the other end. And I said, well, I didn't get down there yesterday, so I didn't know you were here. And I try to interact and have a positive input with them for that day. Because you know what? If we don't do what we need to as workers there, we won't have a job. Because if people decide they don't need the library and they don't come, guess what? The library isn't going to be there just because the workers want it to be. As a matter of fact, the board's going to say we need to close this thing down. We haven't had hardly any patrons, which of course we're far, way far away from that. That's not anything to worry about. But what I'm saying is that's why I need to have good, positive interaction with patrons at the library, even though all I do is clean and tighten doorknobs and screw in light bulbs. Now, what about you, where you work? What about you, where you interact? We got some, Tim there goes to college, okay? And Stephen, he works and he sees all kinds of co-workers where he's at. And same way with Chris, he does too. And John Mark, he's been working around the church here. I hope you're nice to the pastor around here. Sam, of course, he's hanging sheetrock. He's got a smaller work crew that he's with, but they don't need to know that you're a pastor's kid, okay? They just need to know that you come to church regularly, okay? That's what they know. They know that. But what they know, and I have no trouble believing, but what Sam, you're doing right. I'm just saying, everybody's included. Everybody's included. You go to school, don't you? That's good. I'm glad, because you'd be in trouble if you didn't. You go to school, and there's other students at that school, classmates, and they're going to see you. I know the Ford girls go to school, okay? Their mom sees that. So does Dad. But nevertheless, you see, Audie. Oh, Audie's down at the copper. What did Mrs. Hain call it? The copper kettle? Yeah. Copper kettle. She works down there. Now, you say, well, she's just a dishwasher. Yeah, but she has interaction with the rest of the workers there. And they know she goes to church. Her boss knows she goes to church because she had an involvement with her regarding being able to not work Sundays because of going to church. And so she knows. Now, it wouldn't be too good if something didn't go right and Audie just took a great big old kettle and slammed it down on the floor. You never did that, did you? No. I didn't think so. I wouldn't have gone there if I did. But, you know, let's imagine she, you know, everybody has a bad day. Do you ever have a bad day? Don't lie. Okay? And, of course, we all have a bad day. And, boy, do you ever get frustrated when you have a bad day? Boy, if you don't, so you can thank God that you don't. Because I get so frustrated sometimes with things, and then when I get frustrated, Pat will ask something, I say, what? That's not the way to say, what did you want? And then I realize what I did, and I can tell by the look. Do you ever get the look, man?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got the look, and I said, oh, I'm sorry. I was just pressured with this and pressured with that. And then she says this to me. She said, would you talk to your coworkers at the library like that?
Oh.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, yeah. You know how to handle that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
I shouldn't have said that. I didn't do right. Will you forgive me? I'll try and do better. Now, men, watch out for this. I'll try and do better. Not this time, but a previous time that we had this wasn't the first time. Okay. Previous time we had this kind of interaction. Then she said, well, I'm glad to hear you say that. But you know, you've said that every time you do this. Every time you act that way. Every time you ever, whatever. You say it. But you're not, you haven't changed.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That hurts.
Yeah.
But not near as much as the hurt I've given her by acting in ways that brought about that kind of interchange.
That's right, yes, sir.
And you say, well, why are you sharing that? Because I told you before, you don't tell me your things that I can share as an illustration.
Yeah. We need it, brother.
You know? I also share it because I want you to know that I came down off the platform just because you do that for some emphasis, okay? But I'm putting myself down where you are. It's no different. It's not in any way easier for the men who stand up there. The only reason we're up there is so that you can see us better. But we live with the same weaknesses, the same struggles. Now, not that every one of you have good night. We need a basket case. But we live with weaknesses. We live with struggles. We also live with the desire to please God and to serve God. And to the best of our abilities, we do that. And that's why God gave 1 John 1:9. Remember that one? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse, cleanse, cleanse. You go and you ask Him and you feel good. You feel clean because he just forgave you and He gave you cleansing. And now, I don't know how it is with you and your wife or you and somebody else, but I'm one of them people. Once I've dealt with it, now it's past.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Now we're back on track. Pam is not a quick to get over things. It doesn't mean she harbors it, doesn't mean she holds grudges or bitterness or none of that. It's just that when we've gone through this kind of a husband-wife thing, it takes her longer to get back on track. Okay? And that's how it is. Within the marriage, there's often one of each. And all right, we dealt with it. So let's watch TV now. I don't feel like watching TV. Well, why not? Why not? We just had an interchange. Interchange. It wasn't a fight. It wasn't a fight, but it wasn't something right.
Yeah, amen.
What can I say?
Yeah.
Now, all this began off of fathers need to be what we need to be. And I didn't expect to go where I went. Okay?
We're there.
But, yeah.
That's good.
We're there.
And so, let's see. How can we pull this into a verse here? No, I can't look at anything and say, that illustrates this. It is what it is. All right, it's time to go to prayer. Yes.
Pastor, I just want to say this also. Miss Bonnie comes from a Lebanese background. Mm-hmm. The Lebanese went through a lot of problems in that. They were mostly Christian. They ended up having to flee here over wars and everything. She's always gone to these family reunions and Olean amongst those old people and such. Mm-hmm.